Do you think that you will be left as you are? While Allah has not yet made evident those among you who strive for His cause and do not take other than Allah, His Messenger and the believers as intimates, and Allah is acquainted with what you do. It is not for the polytheists to maintain the mosques of Allah while witnessing against themselves with disbelief. For those, their deeds have become worthless, and in the fire they will abide eternally. So what do we learn here? That imara of the masjid, serving the masjid, cleaning it, populating it, supporting it, building it, looking after it, attending it. This is of benefit to who? Only the person who has iman. Only the person who has iman. Because the mushrikeen of Makkah, they used to take a lot of pride in the fact that they were the caretakers of the Kaaba. And the Muslims also had respect to them, that after all, they're the caretakers of the Kaaba. Allah says, why do you have respect for them when these people associate partners with me? These people are not worthy of this honor. Serving the masjid, looking after it, is a very noble deed. But it is of benefit to who? Only the one who believes in Allah. Only the one who believes in Allah, who does it with the right intention for the sake of Allah. The mosques of Allah are only to be maintained by those who believe in Allah and the last day, and establish prayer and give zakat, and do not fear any except Allah. For it is expected that those will be of the rightly guided. So what do we see here? That cleaning the masjid, maintaining it, looking after it, building it, attending it, these are all actions that are beloved to Allah. And this is something that befits who? The believers. This is something that the believers should do. Because Allah says, إِنَّمَا يَعْمُرُ مَسَاجِدَ اللَّهِ مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ. Do we believe in Allah? Alhamdulillah. So then what do we have to do? We have to do something too? Just look after our homes? No, even the house of Allah. مساجد الله, the mosques of Allah. Building the masjid is a noble deed. Then maintaining it, cleaning it even, is a noble deed. Ibrahim a.s., the prophets of Allah were ordered to clean the masjid. Because now Ramadan is coming, right? And we will be attending the masjid frequently, inshallah. So as we attend the masjid, let's also think about giving back. Because think about it, these lights, the air conditioning, everything that's working here, I mean, it's paid for, isn't it? Do we get bills at home? Yes. Yeah? Does it ever happen that you have guests living in your house for like a week or so, and then all of a sudden you see your bills have like doubled or tripled? Does it ever happen? They increase, right? Your grocery expenses, they increase. Now in Ramadan, what happens? There are so many guests in the masjid, isn't it? So, Alhamdulillah, Ahuda, we don't do any fundraisers. We don't believe in that. That close the doors and don't let people go. Or don't perform the witr until they give the donations. No. But this is your masjid. Right? This is our masjid. This is our place. We use it, so we will look after it. Just as our house, nobody needs to tell us, pay the bill, pay the bill. No. It's our house. We have to pay it. Isn't it? We have to look after it. So this house, this masjid is also our masjid. We're sitting on the carpet, we're using it, we're praying on it. These sheets we're using, these benches, the furniture we are using, the lights we are using. So all of this we are using, we need to maintain the masjid. We need to give back also. And then when we do go to the masjid, let's not leave it dirty. Right? We should not leave it dirty. And if our children have made a mess, we should clean that also. Right? Because sometimes we don't even look after our children when we go to the masjid. The children are in the bathrooms wasting water. Or they're spraying the water everywhere. Or they're wasting the toilet paper or the paper towels. And we have no idea. If we find out that our child has done something like that, has broken a window, or has damaged some property at the masjid, then we must take care of it. Because this is the masjid of Allah. Every masjid is the house of Allah. And the believers, they must maintain the masjid of Allah. The Prophet ﷺ said that there will be seven people who will be given the shade of Allah's throne on the Day of Judgment. And one of them is who? وَرَجُلٌ قَلْبُهُ مُعَلَّقٌ بِالْمَسْجِدِ. The person whose heart is attached to the masjid. Do you ever find your heart attached to your house? The place where you live? How much? So much so that when we're praying, we're thinking, am I going to mop first or do the dishes first? Huh? Guests are not even there. There's a whole week for the guests to show up. And what are we thinking about? The food and the bedroom and the linens and so on and so forth. We are attached to our houses. So what happens? We are thinking about our houses all the time. Even when we go to the dollar store, we see, is there anything that I could put in my house to make it look nicer? Amazing! Our heart is attached to the house. If our heart is attached to the masjid, then this is something that will, inshallah, bring shade. A special shade on the Day of Judgment. And attachment to the masjid is not just valuing it or considering it to be one's own place, but also that a person attends it. That he attends it. He goes there regularly. The Prophet ﷺ, he said that Allah will ask on the Day of Judgment, where are my neighbors? Where are my neighbors? And the angels will say, oh Allah, who could be your neighbor? You are Dhul Arsh, the possessor of the throne. Who could be your neighbor? And Allah will say, Aina, where are the Ummarul Masajid? Those who used to populate the mosques. Those who take care of the masjid as if it's their own home. Who regularly attend the masjid as if it's their own home. Those people, look at the honor that Allah will give them on the Day of Judgment. Because such people are beloved to Allah. In another hadith we learn that Allah will prepare for him who goes to the masjid morning and evening an honorable place in Jannah. With good hospitality for every morning and evening that he goes. Every morning and evening that he goes to the masjid, what is prepared for him in Jannah? A special reward. Good hospitality. So right now, alhamdulillah, at least we are able to come in the morning. When Ramadan begins, then inshallah, morning and evening. Inshallah. Because this reward is only for the one who goes in the same day, morning and evening. The same day. Okay? The wording is general, so we also take it general, inshallah. Have you made the providing of water for the pilgrim and the maintenance of Masjid al-Haram equal to the deeds of the one who believes in Allah and the last day and strives in the cause of Allah? They are not equal in the sight of Allah. And Allah does not guide the wrongdoing people. Meaning taking care of the masjid, populating it, cleaning it, maintaining it, worshipping Allah in it is all very good. These are all great actions. However, there is something else that is greater than that. There is something else that is far better than that. And what is that? To believe in Allah and to strive in Allah's way. How is it that a person strives in Allah's way? Either by becoming a muhajir, leaving something, so that a person can do something else for the sake of Allah, or he should become an ansari. That the one who has come, help him. So for example, for you to come here, you had to leave something, right? You had to leave something. Maybe your sleep, maybe your home. Right? This is also a kind of hijrah. Because remember, the person who remains firm on ibadah when fasad has spread, he still continues to do ibadah. He doesn't leave it. This is also a kind of hijrah. So either do something like this, or those who have come, help them. This is something that is greater than just going to the masjid and praying and sitting with your Quran and reciting it yourself. That is beautiful, that is good. But striving in the way of Allah, that is much better. الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَهَاجَرُوا وَجَاهَدُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ بِأَمْوَالِهِمْ وَأَنفُسِهِمْ أَعْظَمُ دَرَجَةً عِنْدَ اللَّهِ وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْفَائِزُونَ. The ones who have believed, immigrated, and striven in the cause of Allah with their wealth and their lives are greater in rank in the sight of Allah. And it is those who are the attainers of success. Their Lord gives them good tidings of mercy from Him and approval and of gardens for them wherein is enduring pleasure. They will be abiding therein forever. Indeed, Allah has with Him a great reward. إِنَّ اللَّهَ عِنْدَهُ أَجْرٌ عَظِيمٌ. Allah has no shortage of rewards. No shortage whatsoever. Our desires, the desires and wishes of people will be exhausted. But the blessings of Allah will not end. The rewards that He has promised will not end. The last person to enter Jannah, when he will enter Jannah, Allah will ask him, what do you want? So he will say, I want this, and I want this, and I want this. Can you imagine a person being asked by Allah, what would you like? You can imagine what long of a list he would have. Haven't you ever seen the list that children make for Santa? Huh? And Santa cannot even give anything. It's not even real. Imagine Allah asking the person, what do you want? And every wish of his is granted. And when he's done asking, Allah will say, what else? Ask for more. And then a person will think and say, okay this. And then he will say, that's it. Allah will say, what about this? Don't you want that? He says, yeah, I want that. What about that? Don't you want that? Yeah, I want that. And then Allah will remind him of what he could want, of what he could enjoy, what he could have. And Allah will give him to the point that his wishes, his desires will be exhausted. Meaning a person will not be able to know how he can enjoy anymore. And then Allah will say, you have this and 10 times its like. 10 times its like. إِنَّ اللَّهَ عِنْدَهُ أَجْرٌ عَظِيمٌ Allah has with him a great reward. So what is it that can get us that great reward? What is mentioned in these ayat? Believing in Allah, striving in His cause. And striving in His cause, how? Happily, not begrudgingly. You know, because we do many things, but we do them with anger. We're miserable inside. Oh, I wish I could be doing something else. Right? So for example, before coming here, okay, alhamdulillah, 10th juz finally, 20 more days to go. Huh? Or then after class, thinking, oh, my back today, khalas. Huh? Or then thinking at night, Ramadan is coming soon. I don't think I can go when I'm fasting. I mean, these are natural feelings. But when you remind yourself, إِنَّ اللَّهَ عِنْدَهُ أَجْرٌ عَظِيمٌ then you have to do a little bit sabr. You say, it's okay, just 20 more days. Just 19 more days. Just 18 more days. Inshallah, I can do it. I want to see Allah at the end of this. I want Him to be happy. O you who have believed, do not take your fathers or your brothers as allies if they have preferred disbelief over belief. And whoever does so among you, then it is those who are the wrongdoers. قُلْ إِنْ كَانَ آبَاؤُكُمْ وَأَبْنَاؤُكُمْ وَإِخْوَانُكُمْ وَأَزْوَاجُكُمْ وَعَشِيرَتُكُمْ وَأَمْوَالٌ اقْتَرَفْتُمُوهَا وَتِجَارَةٌ تَخْشَوْنَ كَسَادَهَا وَمَسَاكِنُ تَرْضَوْنَهَا أَحَبَّ إِلَيْكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَجِهَادٍ فِي سَبِيلِهِ فَتَرَبَّصُوا حَتَّى يَأْتِيَ اللَّهُ بِأَمْرِهِ وَاللَّهُ لَا يَهْدِي الْقَوْمَ الْفَاسِقِينَ Say, if your fathers, your parents, your sons, your children, your brothers, your wives, your relatives, the wealth which you have obtained, the commerce, the business wherein you fear decline, and dwellings, homes with which you are pleased with. If these are more beloved to you than Allah and His Messenger and jihad in His cause, then wait until Allah executes His command. And Allah does not guide the defiantly disobedient people. What does this ayah mean? That as believers, we have to love Allah, His Messenger, His religion more than all people and more than the things that we have, more than money. Allah, His Messenger, and the religion of Allah. This has to be our passion. Passion. Because only then can we put aside these things that are mentioned in this ayah. Why a passion? Because the reward is great. And unless we are passionate for Allah, His Messenger, and the deen, we cannot work for Allah. We cannot strive in the way of Allah. Then what will happen? Little things will seem like a burden. Think about it. Generally, who is it that we love? Those that are mentioned in this ayah. What is it that we love the most? It is the things which are mentioned in this ayah. Our money. And for women especially, houses, homes. Even if it's a small house, one bedroom apartment, not even one bedroom, studio apartment. Even that to a woman is more beloved than it is to a man. Always. You will find this. You know, once I went to Bangladesh and there I found these people who were living in extreme poverty. And they were sharing the roof. Okay, so the roof was shared, which meant that there was just these small walls in the middle. All right, so basically each family had just one room. And they had an area where their kitchen was. So we wanted to go see how the kitchen was like. We thought there would be a shared kitchen. The kitchen was not shared. Each family, each woman had her own stove. Her own stove. They live in the same area, but they cannot share their stoves. Why? Because to a woman, her house is her territory. This is mine, I cannot share it. Isn't it so? Kitchens especially. We cannot share it. You can't cook? My turn to cook. No turn. It's mine. This is mine. Even if somebody tries to help us with the dishwasher, you can't do it the way I do, so don't bother helping me. Even if the husband offers, today let me put the dishes away, and you go put the kids to bed. No. You put the kids to bed. Kitchen is mine. This is mine. This is a natural weakness of the women. Now, what do we see in this ayah? Everything is mentioned. People, those who are closest to us. Who? Father, mother, children, spouse, husband, wife, relatives. And then money is mentioned, home is mentioned. And all of this has been crossed out. That no, you can't love any one of these more than Allah, His Messenger, and the deen of Allah. Allah is first. Allah is first. His Messenger is first. The religion of Allah is first. And everything else is secondary. Family is not first here. When it comes to worshipping Allah, then family is not first there. You see, these ayat were revealed in the context of the Battle of Tabuk. And the Battle of Tabuk was unlike any other battle. It was the battle in which every single Muslim was ordered to participate. It was Fard Ain. Every individual had to come forward. Nobody was allowed to stay behind. So, with respect to that, it is mentioned that what is preventing you? What is preventing you? Is it your family? Well, you have to strive in the way of Allah. Is it your money? You have to go forward in obedience to Allah. So remember, when it comes to Fard Ain, when it comes to the obligations that Allah has put on us as individuals, then what will happen? When it is time to pray, then your child is second in importance. You understand? When it is time to give zakat, then the house is second in importance. And likewise, when there is something that we can only do, and people are in need, they need to learn, then striving in the way of Allah also becomes what? First priority. It becomes first priority. Because think about it, how many people need the knowledge of the Qur'an today? How many people? Do you know how much people struggle to learn the book of Allah? If we ever hear their stories, if we ever even think about how much people desire to learn the book of Allah. You know, in the weekend class, there is this one lady, I was amazed. She said she leaves every morning when she comes to the class. She comes from downtown taking buses. She leaves at 7-8 in the morning. 7-8 in the morning she comes. And one day, when I did speak to her, she had a project that day with her group. She said, I left 6 a.m. in the morning. Can you imagine Saturday or Sunday you leave at 6 a.m. leaving your family at home? Why is she coming? 5 days a week she's at work. 2 days a week she comes all the way here, sitting on bus after bus to study the book of Allah. And these are people who love the book of Allah. There are other people who don't even know about the book of Allah, who have not even recognized it. Who's going to tell them? Who's going to tell them? Can we tell Allah on the Day of Judgment that, Ya Allah, I was very busy maintaining my kitchen and doing my laundry every day. It was just too much to do. I couldn't spare even 1 hour to give in your cause. I couldn't spare even half an hour to give in your cause. I couldn't even spare 1 or 2 days to give in your cause. Each person is different. They have different responsibilities, different roles. But remember, as members of the Muslim Ummah, as people of the Ummah of the Prophet ﷺ, each and every one of us is also carrying a huge responsibility. Many times women are told, you don't need to worry about anything. You just need to worry about yourself and your children. Yes, you should worry about that. But if you know the Qur'an, and there are people who don't know, who's going to teach them? ثُمَّ لَتُسْأَلُنَّ يَوْمَئِذٍ عَنِ النَّعِيمِ Look at this ayah. Isn't this evident? We have to strive in the way of Allah. And if we don't, then what will happen? Allah threatens us. فَتَرَبَّصُوا. Just wait and see what happens. And we see what has happened in Muslim communities all over the world. All over the world. Are we not suffering? Are we not suffering at a global level? In every community we are suffering. Why? Because we have left striving in the way of Allah. We are too busy making money, paying off our mortgages, and maintaining our houses. And we do not care about the masjid. We do not care about promoting the deen of Allah. That will teach people. That will dispel their doubts and will answer their questions and will educate them. We don't have time for that. We have all the time to earn our degrees so that we can get good jobs and we can live comfortable, good lives. And then what happens? Generation after generation, people are forgetting the deen. Don't we see children in Muslim families who don't even know the basics of the deen? Why is that so? Why is that so? Because we have put the deen aside. We have put striving in the way of Allah aside. We think this is the duty of who? Just certain people. Crazy people. Like we learned earlier in the surah. They call such people crazy. Extremists. Women who don't care about their families. Well, if the same woman goes to work 5 days a week, then what will happen? The husband will look after the children. He will even cook. He will do the gardening and the groceries and everything. But if she wants to go to learn the Quran, then what happens? No support. And this is your test. Because Allah is checking us. How sincere is the intention? How willing are we to sacrifice in the way of Allah? So, فَتَرَبَّصُوا حَتَّى يَأْتِيَ اللَّهُ بِأَمْرِهِ. Until Allah brings about His order. And remember that striving in the way of Allah is not just in the battlefield. This is not just at a time when there is war. No. وَجَاهِدْهُمْ بِهِ جِهَادًا كَبِيرًا. A mighty jihad is through the Qur'an. Taking the Qur'an forward. That is in itself such a huge struggle. To understand the word of Allah. And to pass it on to somebody. The questions they have, answer those questions. The doubts they have. The worries, the fears they have, dispelling those. That is also something that requires a lot of effort. And that is something that we need to exert our efforts in. Allah has already given you victory in many regions, and even on the day of Hunayn, when your great number pleased you, but it did not avail you at all. And the earth was confining for you with its vastness, then you turned back fleeing. So your richness will not bring you victory. Who will bring you victory? Allah will. Because sometimes we think, oh, let me get very, very rich, and then I will help the masjid. And then what happens? When a person gets too rich, then he's too busy looking after his money. Then Allah sent down His tranquility upon His messenger, and upon the believers, and sent down soldier angels, whom you did not see, and punished those who disbelieved. And that is a recompense of the disbelievers. Then Allah will accept repentance after that, for whom He wills, and Allah is forgiving and merciful. All you who have believed, indeed the polytheists are unclean. This doesn't mean they're untouchables, but rather that they're spiritually unclean. So let them not approach al-Masjid al-Haram after this, their final year. Now only clean people can come to the clean place. And if you fear poverty, because they would come for trade. So if you fear poverty, then Allah will enrich you from His bounty, if He wills. And remember, at Hajjatul Wada'ar, the year after the surah was revealed, when the Prophet ﷺ performed the farewell pilgrimage, there were 100,000 Muslims who performed the Hajj. The numbers multiplied. The rizq came. But you have to struggle first. Indeed, Allah is knowing and wise. Fight those who do not believe in Allah or in the last day, and who do not consider unlawful what Allah and His Messenger have made unlawful, and who do not adopt the religion of truth from those who were given the scripture. Fight until they give the jizya willingly while they are humbled. The Jews say, Ezra, Uzair is the son of Allah. And the Christians say, the Masih is the son of Allah. That is their statement from their mouths. They imitate the saying of those who disbelieved before them. May Allah destroy them. How were they deluded? The Prophet ﷺ said that none is more patient than Allah against the harmful saying. Meaning when somebody says something harmful, annoying, do we get impatient? Very impatient. People associate children to Allah, yet He gives them wealth and He gives them health. He gives them wealth and He gives them health. They have taken their scholars and monks as lords besides Allah. Who? The people of the book. And also the Masih, the son of Maryam. And they were not commanded except to worship one God. There is no deity except Him. Exalted is He above whatever they associate with Him. So we see that extreme personality worship, what did that lead to? Shirk, idol worship. Because a person then does not look at what Allah has ordered. He begins to look at what my respected elder has ordered. What has he instructed? Remember, when it comes to halal and haram, this is only with Allah. Only He decides. They want to extinguish the light of Allah with their mouths. But Allah refuses except to perfect His light. Although the disbelievers dislike it. هُوَ الَّذِي أَرْسَلَ رَسُولَهُ بِالْهُدَى وَدِينِ الْحَقِّ لِيُظْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّهِ وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْمُشْرِكُونَ It is He who has sent His messenger with guidance and the religion of truth to manifest it over all religions, although they who associate others with Allah dislike it. O you who have believed, indeed, many of the scholars and the monks, meaning of the people of the book, they devour the wealth of people unjustly and avert them from the way of Allah. And those who hoard gold and silver and spend it not in the way of Allah, give them tidings of a painful punishment. The day when it will be heated in the fire of hell and seared therewith will be their foreheads, their flanks and their backs. It will be said, this is what you hoarded for yourselves, so taste what you used to hoard. This is the punishment for not giving zakat. And what is that? That wealth, that gold, silver will be heated on the fire and they'll be pressed with it. They'll be pressed with it. In the hadith we learn that the wealth from which zakat was not given, it will come in the form of a bald snake wrapped around a person's neck, biting him. Biting him. Why? What is that snake? It is the money from which zakat was not given. When these ayat were revealed, the sahaba, they asked the Prophet ﷺ that, Ya Rasulullah, then what is it that we should really accumulate? Because gold and silver, we're scared that if we don't give zakat, then we're in trouble. What is it that we should really take? What wealth is best? The Prophet ﷺ said, the best wealth is a lisanan dhakiran. Is a tongue that remembers Allah much, a heart that is grateful, and a believing wife who will help him in the matter of his iman. Meaning this is something that you should try to get more of. This doesn't mean that we should give away all our money. No, the money that Allah has given, like we discussed earlier, it's not evil. It's just that we should not be attached to it. Right? But from it, the haqq of Allah has to be given. And while we are busy accumulating money and shopping and buying gifts and things like that, for Ramadan we are concerned about decorating our houses and for Eid and exchanging gifts, what is it that we should be more concerned about? لِسَانًا ذَاكِرًا وَقَلْبًا شَاكِرًا Indeed, the number of months with Allah is 12 lunar months in the register of Allah, from the day He created the heavens and the earth. Meaning Allah has made these 12 months. Of these, 4 are sacred. That is the correct religion. So do not wrong yourselves during them. Meaning during the sacred months, do not fight each other. And fight against the disbelievers collectively, as they fight against you collectively. And know that Allah is with the righteous who fear Him. إِنَّمَا النَّسِيءُ زِيَادَةٌ فِي الْكُفْرِ Indeed, the postponing, meaning of restriction within sacred months, is an increase in disbelief. Because the mushrikeen, what they would do is, if they wanted to fight, they would say, you know what? Let's move the month of Muharram. We won't have it this month, we'll make this another month. And when that month will come, we will make that Muharram. Well, we can't change it. It's like saying on Friday, let's pretend it's Monday. Can it be Monday? No. This is foolishness. Allah says this is just increase in disbelief, by which those who have disbelieved are led further astray. They make it lawful one year and unlawful another year, to correspond to the number made unlawful by Allah, and thus make lawful what Allah has made unlawful. Made pleasing to them is the evil of their deeds, and Allah does not guide the disbelieving people. So we have no right to change the law of Allah.